This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
And today we have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the line with us with our social distancing. And we want to talk about well, a lot of different things, but of course, what I don't want to phrase it as what now, because a lot of groundwork was laid as the session was coming to an end, Senator, with the COVID-19 already on the horizon. Kind of your thoughts right now on the big picture and how will the coronavirus impact our state coffers? Will there be a special session perhaps coming up this summer? So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. I really appreciate being on with you and getting a chance to connect with the KPQ listeners. It's been a very troubling last several weeks. Of course, when we ended the session, some of us were already concerned about the economic impacts of the coronavirus. And that's one of the reasons I voted against the final operating budget, is because I felt, given the uncertainty, we just basically have spent too much. Now, the state has a healthy reserve. That's known as our budget stabilization account. And we had projected a pretty healthy ending fund balance for the end of this two-year cycle. But the state of Washington is highly dependent upon sales tax revenues and business and occupation tax revenues. And those are the main revenue drivers of our budget. And we are expecting, as you can imagine, a significant drop in the revenues coming into the state, essentially with the economy being almost entirely shut down. We're losing a lot of those revenues. And so that is going to have a major impact. Whether it brings us back to a special session and when that occurs, you know, we don't yet know. We believe the healthy reserve account that we at least once had, combined with some of the influx of federal dollars that are coming in, we don't anticipate the state having a cash flow problem at this time. We did approve a $200 million emergency COVID-19 response bill, and my understanding is that is being significantly depleted, paying for test kits and other things. But hopefully, as we come across the state peak, maybe we'll be able to use the federal dollars to fund some of those needs as well. So I don't know right now whether we will come back to a special session this summer. Right now, it seems really difficult to do given the restrictions on gathering, but maybe it might be something we'll look at in the fall.
When is the next revenue forecast out, and how much of, I guess that's a crystal ball, but have you gotten any information on what that might look like, or how do those reports come about? Are there any kind of predictions on what the report might look like?
There are some predictions. The next revenue forecast is scheduled to come out and be released in June. Sometimes there are some early indicators. I'm a little bit hesitant to describe some of the things that have been shared with me, just because a lot of it is really based on speculation. And until those revenue forecasts come out, I don't feel quite as comfortable, but it is in the multi-billions of dollars in terms of economic impact to the state. The state currently has a $53 or $54 billion two-year operating budget. So if we are down between $2 and $4 billion of revenue, that would have obviously a significant impact. And we're just looking at the remainder of this current two-year period. If you'll recall, we are sort of almost halfway through our two-year budget cycle, and the session that we just concluded was scheduled to just make minor adjustments to the existing two-year budget. So with such a precipitous drop in state revenues, obviously that sends us scrambling. Now, it all depends, too, on when we can restart our economy. The governor's current stay home, stay healthy order is up until May 5th. And if we can begin to phase things back, hopefully the revenues will phase back as well.
So, you know, we're going to have a lot of things that kind of trying to think about, you know, there are very important social programs that we need to try and maintain. There are some programs that, well, every year, you know, there are requests for increases, and when those aren't granted, that's called a cut. But if you just maintain, you know, the same budget from year to year, so to speak, and just kind of hold the line, is there enough savings in that approach to try and kind of bridge the gap? Or if you're looking at these kinds of businesses closing down and the lost B&O taxes there and all the sales tax revenues, that there's really no escaping that we're going to see some social programs have to take some hits?
Well, I don't know if we'll see programs taking hits, but I do anticipate a major fiscal impact to the state. So from my perspective, you know, I mean, there's no way around that. We have a loss in revenue. We can absorb some of that based on our pretty healthy budget stabilization account, our state's rainy day fund. But it is never really designed for something like this, and really it depends on how extended the economic downturn is. It's hard even to refer to it as an economic downturn in its normal sense, because it's essentially been a complete shutoff, or at least a partial shutoff, of our state and national economy. And so when you look at the graphs of what a normal recession would look like, you know, there's typically it's more of a U-shape. There's a decline more gradually, and then eventually for an extended period of time, then an uptick in the economy, and then a regrowth. That's what we experienced back in 2008 to 2010 or 11. But now I'm hopeful that perhaps it will look, if you look at the graph, or if listeners can envision what a graph would look like, that the graph would look more like a V-shape, where there's a deep decline, but then a spike incline, and we can get more back to normal. It's hard to say, you know, really whether it will turn out that way. And then in terms of the state budget, it's really difficult, because about 51%, just over half of our state budget is K-12 education. You know, if you recall the McCleary decision, that's a constitutionally mandated funding. And then most of the rest of the budget is either natural resources or debt service or health care, corrections. So it's really difficult to find major savings in the budget. But I do believe most projects that are deemed somewhat discretionary will need to be on hold. And certainly, I don't think we should be looking at trying to build new programs. One of the things the governor did recently with the state budget, again, I voted against the final state budget because I thought it spent too much, and the governor actually issued a series of vetoes to try to preserve some of the capacity in the current budget. And I think it was in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million of savings through the governor's vetoes. But as some of us did the analysis, we determined that the governor, if he wanted to be more aggressive in trying to book savings into the current budget, he could have done probably double the vetoes that he did on some of the new spending. So it's going to be tough. Some of the things that just got implemented, we're going to probably have to pull those back. And in my opinion, it's actually a lot easier to never implement those to begin with rather than to pull things back once they get started. So I think we'll get through this current two-year cycle okay. That's what I'm hoping for right now. But the next two-year budget, you know, when the legislators go back next January of 2021, it's going to be a big battle. And, of course, I think some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle will want to see new revenue. Maybe this is the opportunity for a state income tax. But after we just went what we all went through, I think that's the last thing some of us from Central Washington and Eastern Washington would want to see implemented. So how new revenue comes into play will be part of the discussion, I'm sure, also.
Let me just ask you this. You know, all around the country, we're seeing people getting very Michigan's probably one of the most extreme examples, but people getting very upset and concerned about some of the restrictions being placed on them by their governors. Has there been any outreach to any lawmakers from the governor's office for at least some input on some of the stay home, stay healthy orders that you're aware of?
Oh, yes, there has been outreach. I have a phone call with the governor's office this afternoon. We have regular communications with them, with the Secretary of Department of Health. I was on a phone call this morning with local leaders from the Chelan-Douglas Health District and other county and city officials. Basically, we have discussions locally, and I communicate those back to the governor's office. They have been good about receiving the input, but they haven't necessarily taken action on those things. The governor has broad authority under the state and national emergency declarations to take temporary actions, and he has, and of course, he's crediting the social distancing protocols that he's mandated as the reason we're starting to flatten the curve. I'm very pleased that we are starting to flatten the curve, but I do have concerns that the governor has painted some of the things with too broad of a brush. So, for example, he will allow affordable housing projects to continue, but he won't allow residential construction if people still maintain their social distancing protocols. He wants everybody to get out, stay active, and stay healthy, but we're closing down state parks. We're not allowing fishing. We're not allowing hunting. We're not allowing people to go fishing, even if they're fishing alone. So, and some of the restrictions on the state parks and some of the day use hiking limits opportunities, and so then it makes it more difficult to practice appropriate social distancing protocols when you do get out, because the opportunities are so limited now. So, I mean, I understand the difficult situation he was in, and essentially he's issuing laws by himself through executive order, so it's difficult. I'm just hopeful that as we look ahead towards May 5th, we can start loosening up some of those things and not painting some of the restrictions with such a broad brush. Golfing is another thing. You know, golfing lends itself to a lot of social distancing opportunities. It would be a great opportunity to recreate. So I think there are some ways we can start phasing in our economy and still maintaining our health and safety as well. So those are the things that we're starting to balance. And I have had discussions with them, and we're hopeful that we're going to start seeing some of those things phase in the near future.
Yeah, especially when I play golf, usually my ball is over on the wrong fairway. So I'm several yards away from everyone else.
You don't need a lot of balls to the golf trap,
yeah.
Too, huh?
We're with State Senator Brad Hawkins. We'll take a break here and want to get your thoughts on, of course, the implications for education. Of course, we're not even sure that the kids could be back in class I was going to say September, because
right.
that's kind of my generation. The school kind of starts in August around here, so we'll come back here in just a moment on the agenda. State Senator Brad Hawkins, our guest on the agenda. News Radio 560 KPQ.
The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming to your Alexa device. You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
And Senator Brad Hawkins with us and talking about COVID-19 impacts to our state. What about education? Of course, you sit on that committee in the Senate, and right now we don't even know if the kids will be back in September or August, I guess.
Yeah, usually school here starts late August, early September, and it will definitely be interesting looking ahead towards next school year. But for this school year, I remember the last day of session, I found myself in the governor's office with the chair of the education committee, talking a little bit about the governor's future announcement on closing schools in three counties. It was King, Pierce, and Snohomish. And then the next day, the governor extended it statewide, and then recently extended it for the rest of the school year in conjunction with the superintendent of public instruction, who's another person I'm regularly on calls with, given my position on a committee. But it's interesting. I have a school board background. That's what I did before I got elected. I have children of my own in our public schools, and it's really turned everything upside down. My heart goes out to the seniors who have essentially lost a big portion of their high school experience. there's some uncertainty with graduation. But the way I try to look at it, Dave, is that the governor did not mandate school closures because the school buildings, as we know them, are closed, but the school districts are still operating. So as taxpayers and parents, we should, it's fair to expect that our schools will deliver instruction. So the way I try to look at it is the governor has mandated remote instruction for the remainder of this school year. And fortunately, our area is in a little bit better position than most rural areas, given the years of broadband deployment, fiber optic deployment by our PUDs and private cable companies. So we're actually in a better position than most to receive our instruction through distance learning, although it's really not a model that our school districts, K-12 anyway, are accustomed to. So they've really had to adjust. I think for the most part, the first couple of weeks, it seemed like most of the focus was on things other than instruction, school lunches and childcare and other. But now, fortunately, we're getting towards the instruction, which is really important. My hope was that our students would be able to actually start this school year August 1st to give everybody a 1 month of catch up. But I don't even know, like you said, if we start in September, I don't even know if we'd be able to do that. Until there are medications and a vaccine and everybody feels more comfortable, I think currently this might be the new model for a bit of next school year, although those decisions obviously have not been made yet.
Well, we're starting to run out of a little bit of time, and I don't know, maybe we could get you back on maybe next week and focus a little bit more about the impact here in the 12th district looking forward. We've kind of focused on more of a statewide perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's fair, if we can bank some time with you for that next week. But so why don't we see if we can kind of figure that out. But before we let you go, you know, again, we still need, even though we're maybe getting close to our peak here in central Washington, I know everyone kind of has their opinion about that, and it's still very frustrating. But I'm wearing a mask when I go to the supermarket, and I've got a pair of those gloves, and I throw those on. But it gets I get a little claustrophobic when I have it on, I guess, I have to admit.
Yeah.
But I do wear it. I do wear it.
I'm the same way. You know, it does get frustrating, but it is important. And the call we had this morning with the Chelan-Douglas Health District and local officials, Dr. Malcolm Butler was on that call. And the way he described it this morning is, you know, it's exciting that we might be peaking. But if we're peaking, then what that means is now we're at the greatest risk right now of actually contracting COVID-19. If we're truly at our peak, then it's the most prevalent. So we should keep that in mind. We should be not let our guard down related to the social distancing. Try to hang in there and hopefully begin to phase in our economy and do things responsibly, and maintain our health and safety as best we can, as frustrating as it is. And also, I want to let people know as we finish, if people that are listening have any questions about the state or federal assistance, or if you have some ideas for our office, please reach out to me at senatorbradhawkins.org. One of the roles that our office can play is getting information back to people and connecting you with state agencies who can assist you, or our federal offices. I believe these offices exist to serve the people who elect them, so please reach out to us if you have any questions. That's senatorbradhawkins.org. My phone number and email address are available on my website, and we'd be happy to help.
All right, everybody in your household and your family faring well. Everyone's healthy, I hope.
Staying healthy. It gets a little bit restless at times, but you know, like so many of us, we're doing the very best we can. And like I said, let's not let our guard down. It is working, and hopefully we can get back to some semblance of normalcy very soon.
Okay. State Senator Brad Hawkins with us. Oh, and one more question. How is the distance learning going? Because you have some small kids.
Yeah, we do. We have two boys, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. And just speaking honestly as a parent, I was kind of frustrated at first because so much of the focus seemed to be on school lunches and, you know, delivering anything but instruction. And I don't mean to diminish that, because that is certainly a very important role that our school districts can play. But I am excited now that the school districts are cranking up the instruction, and so far so good. The only trouble is when I have to help my 12-year-old in math, you know, it is getting kind of challenging. I remember being pretty good at math, but, you know, they're doing some high-level stuff. So
yeah.
It keeps me on my toes. But like many of us, you know, many of us are parents, you know, we're trying to work from home, but we're also trying to help our kids with their remote learning. So it gets challenging at times. And just like everybody else, I'm smack in the middle of it.
You bet. All righty. Well, thanks for the update. And we'll see if we can't connect for another visit here before too long. We appreciate the update.
Sounds great, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.